Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, quoting from Isaiah, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." What great news for people that have been in the dark. Now, have you ever been in the dark? I'm sure you have at one point or another. We use the dark to talk about literal darkness, but also places of darkness. I know some of you, I know Gail, told me about a power outage recently. How many have experienced a power outage before? I think we all have. Well, and when your power outage happens at night, obviously then you can't really see anything. Now, we experienced this as a kid, and sometimes we'd have a couple days without power. And as a little kid, when you're in the dark and you're afraid of the dark, having the power out is not always the most pleasant experience. You can't flip your light on in your room to check for things underneath the bed when the light doesn't work. And as a little kid, you might be concerned about what might be lurking in the shadows, some of the dangerous things. And if you're a parent, when the light goes out and your children play with Legos, that can be a problem too. Have you ever stepped barefoot on a Lego? Oh, that's torture. So for parents too, when they have a power outage, they can't see. They're blinded. They're in the dark, literally, but they can't see where they're going. So whether you're a parent or a child, a power outage isn't fun. And you know what is such a relief? Having someone light a match and light a lamp. Turning on a flashlight, and what a relief it is to then be able to see where you're going, look for those Legos on the ground, and for a little kid, you're able to see that it's okay, there's nothing lurking in the dark. So for those that have been in darkness, the message of light is an amazing relief. And today, that's what we have. We have a message of the light coming into the darkness, and we see the fulfillment of a prophecy as well. Now, we sometimes can find ourselves in a literal place of darkness, such as when we have a power outage, but sometimes when we talk about the dark, we talk about a different type of darkness, a place of darkness. This past Wednesday, as we started our Bible study, The Journey from Unbelief to Faith, we learned about a woman named Pat, who lived in the St. Louis area, and Pat grew up in a place of darkness in her household. Those of you that saw the video remember that Pat grew up with a father who was an alcoholic, a father who was abusive, and Pat would be there at night in her bed, and she didn't always get a full night's sleep because she didn't know if her father was going to come in and hurt her. This was a dark place for Pat. Also, Pat explained in the movie that she never had someone tell her about the love of Jesus. And so, not only was she in the dark in terms of her home life, but she was also in the dark not knowing about the message of Jesus Christ. There are people in a place of darkness. And maybe you have grown up in a place of darkness, or you know someone who has. And sometimes we find ourselves in a place of darkness as we go through depression, or as we go through a difficult time or a tragedy. We know recently about tragedies that can happen just like that. We can find ourselves in places of darkness. And also, as we go through life, there's a sense where we don't know what's coming around the corner, and there's that type of darkness too. Now, I don't know how many of you play video games or have played computer games, but there are certain games that you play in which you're a character on a map, and there's a small section of the map that you can see, but there are parts of the map that are hidden. They're in darkness, so to speak, until you venture into those places on the map. And that's kind of how it is in our life. We go through life, but there's only so much that we can see ahead until that time when we get there. And that can be scary sometimes, especially when we start thinking about the unknowns of death, for example. We might wonder, what is it like to die? What is it like to die? We don't know, do we? Or maybe we're not so concerned about death itself, but we're concerned about the process of dying. And that can make us rather nervous as we get closer and closer to that day on our tombstone that marks our death date. So we also could use a message of light in the midst of those dark places. And the good news is that we have that message of light, and we see that fulfilled in our gospel reading for today. First of all, let's take a look at that Old Testament reading from Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied about the coming of light to a dark place in Isaiah 9, your Old Testament reading for today. It says this, "In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." So Isaiah is prophesying about two places, Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, just a little history lesson. Zebulun and Naphtali were two of the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember, Jacob had 12 sons. Two of them were Zebulun and Naphtali. And eventually, when they came into the land of Canaan after being in Egypt, they settled there, and different tribes had different territories. And the land of Zebulun and Naphtali was east of the Sea of Galilee, up there in that region. And so he is prophesying that this region, Zebulun and Naphtali, would receive light. Because you see, Zebulun and Naphtali had experienced some darkness with the invasion of the Assyrians to the northern kingdom. There was a dark time for them. Not only that, into the region of Zebulun and Naphtali moved a lot of foreigners, a lot of Gentiles. And so there were people that didn't know about the true God. And so there was darkness also in the sense of unbelief. Isaiah prophesied that a light would come to this place. And guess what? We see that fulfilled in Matthew chapter 4. It talks about Jesus. "Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled." Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy, that the light would come to this region. Remember, John the Baptist was the one who was going to proclaim the coming of Jesus. And John's father, Zechariah, said these words to John about Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, Zechariah prophesies about John. "For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace." So John has been prophesying about the coming of the kingdom of heaven, that the light's coming. Now John is in prison. We remember a couple weeks back why that is, because of Herod. Now Jesus comes into this region and he continues with the message that John proclaims. And what is that message? In Matthew 4:17? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's what it says in Matthew chapter 4:17, that Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What is Jesus doing here? He's telling people, look, turn from the darkness. Turn from the darkness. The kingdom of heaven is here. I want to talk about that word repent for a moment. Now, what do you think of when you think of the word repent? Maybe we think of someone on their knees sobbing and crying and being sorry for their sins. That's certainly an aspect of repentance. There's sorrow in repentance. But the word repentance, metanoia, has to do with turning around. It's a change of action. It's a change of mind. I'm going to admit to you that I've traveled the wrong way on a one-way street before. Yeah, it's a little scary. And if you keep going down a one-way street, what's going to happen eventually? You're going to get yourself into big trouble. When you realize in that moment that you are going the wrong way on a one-way street, what do you need to do? You need to turn around, right? So that's the idea of repentance. It's turning around. A change of mind, a change of thought. The thing is, sometimes we don't realize that we're going the wrong way. And sometimes we don't want to admit that we're going the wrong way. Now, some of you might have gone hiking over the years, and Imagine a hiker who is in the woods. The hiker is in the woods, and the hiker gets lost, and it's getting dark. And now the hiker is lost in the woods at night. The hiker keeps traveling in a certain direction, but unbeknownst to the hiker is going the wrong way, deeper and deeper into the forest. That's dangerous, and that leads to darkness and death. Sometimes, though, the hiker just doesn't want to admit that they're lost. So they just keep going the wrong way. Nope, I've got this. And maybe pride, stubborn pride, can lead a person who really knows that they need to repent. They need to turn around. Kind of like someone who's going the wrong way and they refuse to ask directions on the road. You know? And what does that do? That stubborn pride of refusing to repent and to turn around leads further and further into darkness and danger. And ultimately, as we know, the wages of sin is death. So Jesus says, repent. Repent! Turn away. But he also gives a message of the kingdom of God. And we see Jesus proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God in word and in deed. He brings a message of light and of hope. It says in Matthew 4:23, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. Jesus proclaims the message of the kingdom in word and deed as he proclaims the good news of the gospel. And ultimately, Jesus would himself embody the gospel as he would go to the cross for you and for me. And we also see that he is healing and bringing light. He is casting out the darkness of the demons, for he is the one powerful enough to do this, for he is the Son of God in human flesh. And he comes, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, comes and he scatters the darkness. Jesus is also the one who chose his disciples, as we hear in that classic story about Jesus on the shore, and he's telling them that he'll make them fishers of men so that they would proclaim the message of the kingdom, that they would share the message of the light. And as a result, we have also heard the gospel as people have come into our lives and shared that message with us. Maybe you heard it, the message of the gospel from a friend, maybe from your parents growing up. And so we also have heard the message and our hearts have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit. As it says in the third article of the Creed and the explanation to that in the Catechism, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. That woman that I mentioned in Bible study, Pat, she had some friends who were Christians, and long story short, she was led to go to a church, and she talked to the pastor, and Pat, being a bold woman, she grabbed the pastor by the tie, he was a tall guy, and pulled him down and says, tell me about Jesus. And he took the time to sit down with her and tell her about Jesus, to share the message of the gospel for a woman who had experienced so much darkness in her life. And she was told to join a Bible study where she would hear the word of God, which would enlighten her heart. And as a result, her life was changed, and there was light in her life, and that light then spread to other people as well. You see, this is the beauty of God's word that God has given to you and me. As Psalm 119 says, as I mentioned to the kids in the children's message, what does the word of God refer to? It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. Now, this is significant because as we hear the word of God, the darkness is exposed, the darkness is pushed away, and we can see clearly. Now, as I mentioned, I really like flashlights, and I heard about a flashlight that somebody built, and people, you know, brag about things on YouTube, and this one guy showed this flashlight that was a 90,000 lumen light. Now, a really strong, decent flashlight is about 200 lumens. 90,000 lumens is brighter than your car's headlights. And he said, check this out. And he turned it on, and in this formerly dark place was just illumined with light, and you could see then clearly. And see, that's what happens as we hear God's word. It exposes those Legos in our path, so to speak, those dangerous things that you might step on, and it leads us in a different direction. It dispels the lies that Satan has told you in your heart, that you are no good, that you're worthless, that you're nothing. That cloudy, poor mindset is broken through with the light of God's word, which tells that you are a precious child of God, that when Jesus, the light of the world, went to the cross, when he experienced the darkness on your behalf, the one who burst forth from the tomb, he has given you new life, he's given you a new purpose, he's given you new hope. And during those times when you are fearing the unknown, when you're fearing death, when you're feeling the power of Satan, we have God's word, which reminds us that Jesus is so much more powerful than we are. So much more powerful. There have been a couple times in my life when I've experienced a certain type of oppression. Maybe if you've experienced that before. All of a sudden, with almost no warning and no reason, a wave of darkness was felt, and I just felt scared for no good reason. Well, we know Satan's still alive and well. And during those times, a very special passage of Scripture has been meaningful to me from Revelation chapter 1, which speaks of Jesus shining in all his glory. I'd like to share that with you. Picture this, if you can, in your mind. In the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." What a powerful picture of Jesus, the light of the world, shining in all his glory. What a picture during those times when we are experiencing darkness. We can also take comfort that Jesus, the light of the world, is there with us as we're going through our dark times. When I was a kid, one of my jobs was to take out the compost. And that was a regular job. It was a daily job to take the compost out across the field. Now, when I remembered to do it during the daytime, things were fine. But sometimes I would forget to take out the compost until it was dark. And me being deathly afraid of the dark, really did not want to go outside and take the compost out in the dark. Now, there were times when my parents, basically showing tough love, said, "Dallas, you got to go take out the garbage. Go do it." And I would scream and yell and cry and finally go take out the garbage. But I remember there were times when my mom and dad would choose to walk with me as I went out across the field. And so I remember mom or dad with the flashlight showing the way right there with me as I took out the garbage. And you can imagine that made all the difference in the world, knowing that my parents were there with me with a light. What's so wonderful about your Savior, Jesus Christ, is he's always there with you. He's always there with you, even when you are going through darkness. Remember that beautiful verse from Psalm 23? "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So as we go through this life, there will be times when we experience difficulties and places of darkness. But remember this, that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, which no darkness can overcome, And he lights the way with his word, and he is there with you always. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until that time in life everlasting when it will be so bright because Jesus there is the light of the world and the kingdom of God. Amen.